Well, I'm glad to be here this morning and share a message with you. I'm going to continue in the same theme that we've been following for over the past couple weeks, and the theme has been about our words and the importance of our words and how powerful our words can be. And we've heard a lot of great messages over the past few Sundays, and I really enjoyed Andrew's message last Sunday, and I enjoyed the saying that he modified. He sticks and bones can break your bones, but words can't hurt me, is a saying that's known. But I think the second part of that he said, but the words can pierce my heart, my soul, something along those lines. And that was really powerful to me. And I really, I took that in, I memorized it, and I said, you know what? I'm going to live by this, and I'm going to try my best to not use my words lightly. And you know, when it comes to words and how important they are and what kind of role they play in our life, our words are important, but I can tell you right now that every single one of us here sitting this morning have messed up at least once in our life with our words. And we have at least once discouraged or spoke something to someone that was not life-giving. We talked about how words are life and death. They were the words that were not life-giving, but they were more like death-giving. They were crushing the spirit of someone else. And you know, a lot of people say, "Well, it's not really what you say, but it's really how you say it." And that's true, but it's also what you say that matters too. And it's important to note that in the scripture, it talks about how our words are a reflection of our heart and how out of our heart, our mouth speaks. And really, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, it is really the heart that is the main issue. And the state of our heart will express the state of our words. And just recently, I had a situation. I have a lot of situations that happened within a week where I am not wise with my words. And I'll just share a little story that happened just last weekend. We were going out with the boys to the mall. And we have three boys. One of our boys, the middle child, he's been on us since he's really into basketball. He likes the basketball shoes. And he's been on us for a long time to get him this pair of shoes ever since they came out. The model is Curry Tens. You guys know who Curry is, the greatest shooter of all time. If you don't know, it's fine. It doesn't matter. He wanted these shoes, and it was an ongoing conversation ever since they came out. He was basically telling me, "Dad, this is all I need in my life. I don't need anything else. You don't have to buy me anything for 10 years. I just want Curry Tens." Long story short, we let that pass. We didn't buy it at that time. We went to the mall, and then my wife and I decided finally, okay, well, let's get him the shoes. You know, he's been asking us, and we can afford them now, and so let's go to the store. So we were in a store, and he was so excited to go to the store. It was like Christmas. We went to the store, and that was the first store he wanted to go to when we got to the mall. But we ended up going different stores, and then we ended up going there. But then when we got there, there was no shoes in his size. It was a very devastating experience. He was not happy. We went to another store, no shoes in his size. We went to another store, no shoes in his size. And then my wife just pulled out her cell phone, and she's like, "Let me check online." And she checks online, and the shoes are available, only one pair, his size, online. So I said, "Okay, well, let's purchase them, like, right now. Like, I mean, we're at the mall, but let's just buy them." So we bought the shoes. We hung out at the mall that day, and the day of, he was asking us maybe like, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes later after we purchased them online. We told him, you know, we got them. They should be here Monday. 30 minutes later, he asked us, "So do you guys know when they're going to ship them exactly?" An hour later, "So are you sure they're going to come on Monday?" Yes, they'll come on Monday. But at the end of the day, we got an email saying that they're prepared to be shipped, or I don't know, whatever the term was that they used. So we told them, well, you know, they're prepared, so they're coming Monday for sure. Well, Monday rolls around. And that was a fun day for all of us because we were expecting a truck to come by our house and deliver the shoes. And it was a fun day because he kept on asking. He was constantly, okay, so when is it coming? How does the truck look? Do you know what time? Did they send you an email? Can you check? Can you track? Is there a way to figure out, you know, which company is going to deliver it? We went to the park. We were just playing, and he's like, oh, Dad, is that the truck over there? It was a big, humongous truck. No, that's not the truck. That truck can't even fit on our street. So what's the color of the truck? We just kept on going on and on to the point where I just got so annoyed that I said, why do you have to be such an annoying child? And he rubbed it off. We played in the park. We went home, and I could tell that he was sad, but at the same time, he was still excited about the shoes because they were still supposed to come, right? He was sort of like on a fence, when is the last truck coming? It's by 8, so maybe they'll come by 8. I don't know. We don't know. We just kept on talking about the shoes, and he was sad. The day went by. He was sad because of something else that was said to him that day as well, that I found out later from his brother. Long story short, we had a conversation. I saw that his spirit was deflated, and I talked to him. At the end of the day, the shoes did not come, unfortunately. But we had a conversation before that, and I really tried to see what was wrong because he was sad. And then I realized later that it was actually what I told him that really affected him. Even though it wasn't really evil, the way it was just, it wasn't an evil word that I used, but I did call him annoying, and that really did not go well with him. He did not like to be, so I had to, it was like, they usually say like one negative word, it's 10 positive words. I had to really do my job as a parent and just tell him, no, you're not annoying, you're amazing, I know what you meant. You're an exciting boy, you're amazing, you're an athlete, you're going to be great. I just have to keep on reinforcing that he's not what I said was not true. And what his brother told him, call him a different name when they were playing a game, was not true as well. He's a winner. He's not a loser. He's amazing. Don't take it to heart. You know, it's going to be fine. You're going to win next time, and on and on and on. So that was a situation that happened in the last week when I was trying to come up with a story. But this has happened multiple times in my own life where I have said things that I have regretted afterwards. And my question for you this morning is simply this. Have you said something to someone not long time ago, but just maybe this morning when you were coming to church? Have you said something to someone that you regretted or that you regret now? Did your words disappoint people? Did you hurt feelings? Cause pain. Maybe you don't even realize that you hurt someone's feelings. But you said things and you brought harm, agony, anxiety, and you were not nice. You did not make people feel good. I know we all have. Maybe not this morning, but at least in the last week, we can probably pick one scenario where we have said something that we regret. And I wrote a little statement here that regret is a net cast by words that we forget to vet. How about that? You like that? I just came up with this morning. I had a revelation moment because I was going to talk about the regret, but how important it is for us to look what regret is. But it really is a net. It's usually produced by the words, wrong words that we use, and usually produced by the words that we don't vet. We just sort of say them, you know, we just kind of let them pass by the security checkpoint and we just don't even think twice. And James in the scripture, third chapter, talks a lot about tongue, and one of the things that it talks about is we've heard these scriptures over the weeks, but I'll just read them again because I really think it's important to just focus on two phrases here that I really, it just stood out to me this week, and I was like, wow, that's really serious stuff. But this is what he says. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body, corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is in itself set on fire by hell. Wow, this is a deep one, very deep. I'm not going to go into talking about this particular portion of Scripture because I have something else that I'll share with you. But just to start here and tell you that the Scripture calls, the Word of God calls our tongue is fire and evil. Our tongue is fire and evil. And I thought about this, and when I thought about this, I was just, before that, I was reading about the news, and there's another wildfire, and there's another wildfire, and then there's a fire in Greece, and there's the talk about how the world has been so hot and so warm, and they're talking about fires, and how are all these fires starting? But did you know that every single wildfire was started by a very small spark? It wasn't just, there was a huge fire and just like showed up out of nowhere. It was started with a very small spark. And it just turned into a wildfire that this is destructive, destroys homes, people's lives, people have to move, destroys the forest, destroys the animals, it destroys everything that is in a way. And it's almost like uncontrollable how many things it can destroy in its path. People are trying to stop the wildfires. They're trying really hard, but they don't have the tools to start, and they're just praying to God to send the rain because they can't stop it. It's just going to keep on going. And that's sometimes what our tongue does. It can start a fire. It can be a ripple effect, and it can just go on and on and on and on. And really, at the end of the day, really God can heal it, and God can restore it and bring it back to where it's supposed to be. So out of all the parts of our body, one that was called evil was our tongue. I thought some other parts of my body were evil, but I guess tongue really is, and that's what Scripture talks about. So our heart, our tongue is a fire and evil. And remember that. Remember that the next time you open your mouth. It is fire and it is evil. And you need to learn how to vet things before they come out of your mouth. And that's what I'm going to focus on this morning. I'll give you a couple points of questions to ask before you speak, you say something. But we have all experienced in our life, I believe, words when people have spoken life into us. I remember multiple times when I was a child, my dad spoke life into me. And I remember multiple times in my life when my dad didn't speak life into me. And I remember more those negative moments than positive ones. It's just funny how we as humans remember the negative words. But I remember even my mom, same thing, negative words. It affected me as a child growing up. And you all have had parents, teachers, whoever in your life that spoke something into you, whether it encouraged you or put you down, and that you still maybe are even carrying to this day. But we as Christians, I believe, we're called to, we are the people that are called to speak the words of life and encouragement and hope. I believe that's as Christians, that is one of our high priority jobs. To be the ones that will speak life. And like Pastor Ken a few weeks ago mentioned, you know, when someone messes up, and yes, you can go and give him a discipline and tell him what they didn't do right, but you can also come with the words of life and encouragement and not put them even more down, but actually try to lift them up out of the despair and the pit that they're in. So we need to think about our words before we speak them. And there's a scripture that I found, and you probably have heard some of these things before, but I found a scripture that has, I come up with five things that I think are really important for us to think about before we speak. Now, when I said five things, you might be thinking, oh, that's a lot of things to think about before I speak. Oh, that's my this and this and this and this and this. Oh, okay, and that's why I actually titled my sermon, Five. This is what I titled it. Five, can we have that up there? Do we have the title? 5-second rule. I came up with a 5-second rule before you speak. You can actually ask yourself these five quick questions before you open your mouth, and it's going to take you only 5 seconds because it's five questions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then to speak. So it's like you pause, ask these questions, and then speak. So we need to vet things that come out of our mouth so that we would avoid the regrets that they can cause. And oftentimes I've heard in the past someone said, you know, the words, whatever you have spoken, you can't take it back. Now, my wife and I have a game. And the game is simple. If I say something and she fires back and she says, take it back, I'm going to take it back. And it's the other way around. Because it's not true. What I've said or what she has said to me, when you say take it back, it works for us. It's actually better not to ever say it. But sometimes we say things that we don't mean and they come off the wrong way. And then we have a chance in our relationship to say, you take that back because that's not true. And I can say, okay, I'm taking it back. That's not true. And we can just roll it off. And we don't have to let it settle in the heart and think about it for days. And why did he say that? Why did she say that? But really, we have an opportunity that when we say something to actually take back if we realize in the moment that we have messed up. Oftentimes, we don't have a lot of time to take things back because sometimes things just are out of control and things happen. So 5 second break, timeout. You can call it a timeout. You can call it a 5 second break. You need to stop and ask yourself these questions. Are you ready? I'm going to read the scripture and then we're going to go through these five things. And I hope that out of all this, you remember just this. There's a 5 second rule that I should use before I use my words. When I look at Jesus's life and the way he spoke, and when he communicated to people, there's a lot we can learn from just reading Jesus' words. Obviously, Jesus had to be harsh with some people because those people were just not good people. And sometimes in our life, yes, we have to be a little on a harsh end because they're just people that are done, you know, they're not in it. They're not there to be your friends. But beyond that, I think in our relationships and how we do our life, in our homes, with our friends, with our coworkers, with whoever we spend our time with, we can follow this rule, and we can really see a huge difference in just the way we communicate and how it can actually help us become better people as we do this as we go forward. So this is the scripture that I want to start and dig in right now, and the scripture is found in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 is a great chapter. But we'll just focus on the scriptures 25 through 29. Are you ready? Let's read this together. Therefore, putting away lying. Actually, wait, I'll read it. You don't have to read it after me. Sorry. Was I not clear? I know Andrew did this last Sunday. I thought, I'll just read it out. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has needs. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that he may impart grace to the hearers. Wow, there's a lot here to unpack, and I want to try to go through these points really quick. But just to something, you know, people have said this statement in the past. Even when I was a kid, I heard it multiple times. Think before you speak. Just think. And I'm going to give you something to think about before you speak this morning. So take a 5 second break, take a timeout before you speak, and before, not only before you speak, but even to extend it, because the communication has changed over time. We use text messaging, I use a lot of voice messages lately. It just helps me to send a voice message and say everything that I have to say within a minute, and I don't have to type it out. Video messages, also it's words. Emails. Whatever it is, the way that you communicate, these are the things that we should use. So not only things that we say, but oftentimes we write and we type in emails and stuff like that, type in text messages. So, number one thing that they talks about here in verse 25, it says, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth. The first question, you probably heard this before, but it's actually very scriptural. Whoever came up with it, is it true? Is it true? What is your relationship with the truth? We as Christians were called to speak the truth in with everybody in all of the areas of our life at all times. That is how we're called to live. I know it's a high standard, and I know that most of us probably fall and don't follow this standard all the time, but this is the goal. This is what we want to get. You know, the scripture talks about, there's a verse that talks about speaking the truth in love. And that is a big one, especially when talking to people about certain issues that we need to deal with. But is it true is the first question we should ask, because oftentimes we will get caught up ourselves in lies and things that are not true and things that are, you know, maybe we only heard one side in a conversation, or we were part of something and you just heard, you know, them talking about it, but you didn't really hear what actually happened. And then you get caught up in this and you're about to go into a conversation and you're about to dig yourself a big hole because it's really not the truth. Have you ever found yourself like that? Can I see your hand? You can be honest. I've done it multiple times where you find yourself in a hole, but you're talking about something that actually isn't truth. Now, the ultimate truth that we have is the Word of God, obviously. But I have had, I distanced myself from a lot of conversations, especially in the last couple of years, because a lot of people came to me with a lot of information. We have a lot of information in the world that are really not true. And then you have to distinguish, and you have to even tell yourself at times, I'm gonna pick my battle. I'm not gonna go into this because this is not worth my time. It's really not true, and I don't have time to tell them that what they're believing is a lie, or what they're talking about is a lie. That's going to cause even more ruckus, and I'm just not going to stay out of it. So I tell you, as a friend, as a pastor, as a leader, I've received a lot of emails and text messages about all kinds of things that are happening in the world that I did not reply to, just because I don't want anybody, obviously, to feel that I don't. But at the same time, I look at it, is it true? There's a lot of ways to look at it. I probably shouldn't go into it, and I probably won't. And a lot of things are happening in the world, and I know we get caught up in the doom scrolling, and we caught up in things that we read up on the internet. Now, oh, look at this, and oh, you should read this. Oh, you should watch this video. Oh, look this and this and this and this, and then you get overwhelmed, and you're at the end of the day, you're like, well, that's not really true, and I don't want to. Get into it. So it's just like some theory that somebody came up with, and this guy has a theory, and this guy has a theory, and all of a sudden you got 10 people have 10 different theories on a similar issue, and then you find yourself, well, is this really true? And then you go back to the scripture and you say, well, probably not. So I'm just going to stay out of it. So is it true? You should always ask yourself a question, is it true? When I was a kid, I was not my parents caught me lying multiple times. And part of it was because I was afraid if I say something that wasn't right, that I'm going to get a spanking, you know. So I always had, you know, we would be in a situation and, you know, something will happen. I'll break a mirror, and then my dad would come and put us all in a line and say, who broke the mirror? It was her, you know, and I was the one who broke it. You know, who did this? It wasn't me. And it was constantly just always, I was always the first one. And he knew that whenever I would speak first, that it was me. Multiple times. So I had to, you know, I remember so many situations, but I don't know. I stole something from, I don't know, it was a Hot Wheel, brought it home. My dad is like, where is this Hot Wheel from? We didn't buy this for the kids. Like, who brought this? It's definitely stolen from somewhere. And for that one, I did get spanking because I kept on lying and lying until he said, you know what, I'm just going to give you spanking regardless because you're just not being truthful. So I had to work my way out of it and become more truthful. But really, when you speak the truth, it's easy. Then you don't have to remember all the lies. You know it's the truth. You just go off the truth, and that's the truth. We'll leave it at that. So before you say something, before you speak to someone, before you just think about this question: is this true? Is this really true? Let's move on to the second thing, and this one is a big one. And I just added this because this is a part of the scripture, and you know it's so important because we talk about this. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. I have failed this one multiple times. I've gone to bed angry multiple times. Multiple times. I can't even count. But I've gone to bed angry because I used my words wrong in a wrong way, obviously, before that. But what I've realized is that when I'm angry, I usually don't have good things to say. So the second question you should ask yourself is, am I angry? Or in other words, is it kind? Is it calm? Are you calm? It says here, do not go down your anger. So Ephesians 4:22 talks about it. In another way, it says, being kind and compassionate to one another, Ephesians 4:32. But then James 1:19 and 20 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, the scripture talks about anger as an emotion that it says here, be angry, like the scripture talks about. It says, you can be angry. It's okay to be angry. But do not sin. What happens oftentimes when we're angry, we tend to sin, usually with our words. And if you are angry, in most situations, your words will not be life-giving. They will not be kind, and they will not cause any good to anyone. It's better not to speak when we're angry, because mostly we'll bring damage. Anger is a strong, potentially damaging emotion that a lot of people don't know how to tame. And I personally had to still go into a lot of therapy for it. But anger is something that I think is something, because we live in this flesh. It's a part of our sinful nature. We have to really work on. Because handling anger, there's a lot of scripture guidance how to handle anger and all that stuff. Anger is one emotion that I think we all experience at times. And that we all have to do a better job at. So when we're angry, we know that our tone is completely different when we speak, when we communicate. We know that we're not gentle when we're angry. Have you ever found yourself being gentle when you're angry? Almost never, right? So before you say it and before you lose control, just ask yourself, are you angry? And if you are angry, it is a good practice just to walk away, take a little break, go for a run, do a workout. I don't know what else. Do a couple of jumping jacks, like whatever. Do something that's just going to let the fuse go down, and then you can go and talk. Because a lot of damage can be done in a moment when you're angry and you're not careful and things can just be said, and oftentimes said things that I did not mean when I was angry. Almost every time. So you can tell when you're angry, when your tone changes, when you have a little bit of anxiety, and you're just, you're just angry. Okay, the third thing in the scripture, verse 29, it says this: let no corrupt words come out of your mouth. So that means, is it good? Is it good? Another verse scripture talks about this in different light. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. And this is a good practice if we want to speak good things, to think about good things first. Because that's how all the good things, all the corrupt words come out of the abundance of all the opposite things of right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent and praiseworthy, and on and on. In other words, the meaning of corrupt is actually, it's a really deep meaning, but there's you can just call it bad, useless, it can fall under gossip. Profanity is one type of corrupt speech. Disrespectful words, mean words, cruel words. And this is a big one because I have seen a lot of people's reputation go down the drain because they have used bad language. I've heard a story of a guy who was applying for a job, a very high-end job, and he was vetted like every single thing, you know. He went for an interview after interview after interview. He said all the right things, did all the right things. His profile, his education, his everything was spot on. He was just about to get hired. And what happened is one of the employees stumbled upon his Twitter account. And the Twitter account had words that were not something that aligns, or were not, it was just words that were not, it was just corrupt words. It was just not good. Well, the guy never got a job. Now, is it fair? Probably not fair, because maybe something that he said in the past, you know, but he was left on his wall. Everybody was there to read it. And it spoke to the company that, you know, well, if he said it before, how can we trust him? And it's still there. Like, everybody can read it, right? And that's the question that I think we should ask ourselves. You know, yeah, we've said things in the past, and I've said things in the past that I've tried to become better at and seek forgiveness for and stuff like that. But, like, going forward, these corrupt words, whatever I mentioned here, bad words, useless, gossip, profanity especially. Like, thankfully, we're not, we as Christians, we don't swear. And I'm teaching my kids about this. We don't say the words that the world is saying, you know. And people can lose reputation over a couple of words. But where I'm going with this is simply this. Our words can define our future. And our the words that we use, it's really important for us to think about what we're going to say before. And to think about this, is it good? Or if it's not good, if it's corrupt, I probably shouldn't say it. I used to work at a construction site for 3 years. And I know some of you guys are construction workers here in the house. And I don't know what's up with those construction guys, but they are just different. I know they're built different. You know, like, they like to build stuff and they, oh, you know. But man, like, I found myself multiple times when I was working construction, going home and like swearing. I come home and I'm swearing. Where did I hear this? Like, these guys are just swearing at each other nonstop and just using profanity and going. I mean, I'm not blasting construction. There's a lot of construction guys that are really wonderful, and we have some of us in the church that are really wonderful people, and they're careful with their words, unless they hit it with a hammer. I'm kidding. But, you know, like, it's like there's a certain group of people, there's just something, it's like I have to distance myself from those people because I'm going to become like them. And if I'm hanging out with a group of people that are always using profanity and swearing and being just bad and corrupt, I'm not going to hang out with them anymore. I'm going to decide to distance myself because they are not a good influence. We're doing our job. We're trying really, really hard with our boys to just not get in the groups of kids that are using that kind of language. Because we've had situations where our kids have come home, the youngest ones, and they said some words that were not nice. And where did you hear that? And yeah, you usually hear from the others, and you learn from the others. So, is it good? Number four, is it edifying? I have to move up. I'm gonna move really quick through this. It says this: do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So, edifying, this word is actually build up. We've heard a lot about tearing down, building up. Does what I'm about to say, is that going to build up or is it going to tear down? As a parent, as a partner, are we using our words to build people up, or are we using our words to tear people apart? And I will tell you one truth, and that truth is that it is really easy to blow things up and to tear people apart. That is the easiest thing to do. To just, you know, like in an action movie, have you ever seen an action movie? Usually Mission Impossible, like what's his name? Tom Cruise is walking and there's things exploding in the background, fire and all that kind of stuff. Like for us, it's easy to just throw a bomb and just walk away and just like nothing happened, right? And I have a feeling like we all have that. We all have tendency to instead of going to building and encouraging, to actually say, well, you should do this. Ah, oh, you're like this. And why that? And why that? And complain. And complain can fall onto that and all this stuff. So before you open your mouth, ask yourself, is this going to build up? If it's not going to build up, I should probably not say it. And then the fifth question that we should ask ourselves is found here. It says, season with salt and grace. Does it minister grace? So is it graceful? Is it graceful? So it was kind of hidden there in the scripture because it's the last thing that it says, that it may impart grace to the hearers. What is grace? Grace is the opposite of what? What is grace opposite of? When you don't give grace to people, and we've all been saved, you say we've been saved through grace. God has saved us as wretched as we are, as sinful as we are, and He's extended the grace towards us. And it's nothing that we have done, that we need to do. It is what He has done for us. So grace is redemption. And what grace does, it usually brings the emotions of joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness. And we can ask ourselves, is what I'm about to say, is it going to be graceful? If it's not going to be graceful, it's probably going to be condemning. And that's what the opposite of grace is. And condemnation usually is not something that we're called to do. We as Christians, we're called to love. And we're called to speak the truth in love and not condemnation. God is the one who judges. God is the one who condemns. We are the ones who use our words to love and to extend grace. Colossians 4:6 says it wonderfully. It says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Salt back in the day was used as a preservative. For those of you that don't know why he was using the salt, it wasn't just to season things. It was used as a preservative to preserve the meat, and they didn't have the refrigeration and the cold and all the cool technology that we have nowadays. So they use salt a lot to preserve things. And just like that, we can use our words to be full of grace, to preserve things, to let things live on, to let relationships live on. So that's what we're called to do as Christians. We're called to respond to people when we communicate, to communicate with humility, respect, kindness, empathy. No matter what the situation is, we can always choose to ask ourselves these five questions. And these are the five questions. And this is how I actually worded it. Before your words take flight, ensure that they're true, good, kind, edifying, and full of light. Just to rhyme it up for you this morning, but full of grace is also a big one, what I was talking about. It is very important that you would just remember, in 5 seconds, I'll just end it here, before you open your mouth, is it true? Am I angry? Is it good? Is it edifying? Is it graceful? If you ask yourself that question before you open your mouth, I guarantee you're going to avoid a life of regret, arguments, disrespect, broken relationships, and all the things that we have it happen in our world continuously. Wars, divorces, separations, everything starts with our words. Everything. Big wars have been started by words, and big separations and companies are falling apart over our words. So let's be wise as Christians, and let's use our words to build people up, to be kind, to encourage people to speak life, hope, and all those good things that we talked about this morning. Let's all stand. I'm going to pray for all of us. And if you want to be included in this prayer, I want to pray for you. I think we all need more prayer in this area, don't we? So that we would continue on to be the people that will be life-giving, and that will be the people that will actually, when we open our mouth, people can look at us and say, wow, this person is amazing. Just the way they speak, how they said that, how they dealt with this conflict, this situation, it was just amazing. That's what I want for myself. Do you want that for yourself? Well, let me pray for you. Father God, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word that's life to us, and that it encourages us to be better and to do better. And we want to do better, Jesus. We want to be better in all that we say and all that we do. So I pray this morning you would just encourage every person in this room. I pray that you would heal every regret that we have in our hearts. And I pray that you would have us courage and grace to go back. And if we need to forgive, if we need to let go, if we need to go back and ask for forgiveness, I pray that we would do that. That you would encourage us to do that. And as we go on with our life, that we would continue to be an example that we're supposed to be. We will be like you, Jesus. In every situation, we will speak the lives of hope, encouragement, goodness, grace. Help us, Jesus. We really need you, Holy Spirit. We cannot do it without you, Jesus. We give you all that we are. We give you all of our words, all of our thoughts, all of our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.